Senior Focus. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Khoury. I'm your presenter for this edition of Senior Focus. And in the holiday season, January 2026, it's time for reflections, it's time for planning, it's time for us to look ahead at the year ahead and how we're going to divide up our energies towards program topics, towards who we're talking to and dialoguing with. Who do we want to continue to build relationships with in our communities? Who's got interesting projects that they're doing in 2026? And we're always open to suggestions. So this weekend, a team of us will get together and we will work on developing a strategy for this year for looking at how we're going to fund the program, because we do have to find the broadcasting fees week by week. And as well as that, we'll be discussing amongst ourselves what new ideas and what fresh ideas and approaches we've got for our programming. And in the area of health, which we will prioritise, we are going to look for another broadcaster so that we have a male perspective on men's health, as well as the balance that we've had with the number of hosts that have been able to come in and shed light on different aspects of health in general, but also women's health. So that's a topic area that we're well and truly prepared for, and it will be business as usual, but it also, there will be some exciting things, some new research and some new projects that are out there we will be following. Now, I'm also very keen to see what's happening at council with the plan change 120. Of course, the long-term impacts of that will go on over the next 20, 30 years. And we can't have a crystal ball on that, but we can make sure that we look at maximising opportunities to dialogue about things that are coming up, policies at council, projects and directions with parks and rec, creation and sport, and areas that impact on walkability within local precinct planning, the planning in town centres and so on. So there are some local boards over these sorts of things, and they are very, very good, and they are listening to communities and putting things in place that people want and need, while others are not always as responsive. And so it's quite good to be able to have discussions on air and know that we're contributing to what positive things are happening, and then we're also strengthening what might happen. So Alex Bonham will continue to do programs with us this year, although because she's now the chair of Waitemata Local Board and is full-time, her capacity to contribute is reduced. So we've just been working out how we will build more strength around the urban planning scene, who else we will invite in to participate on a regular basis. And Sally Hughes will still be in the wings to come in and comment on heritage matters, as will Tris Deans. And I think we also will look at transport more closely, at public transport, because that's an area where Auckland Transport has had a reduced scope, and they're now concentrating solely on providing buses and trains and so on. But with the CRL project coming on stream, I think there'll be lots of interesting things to comment on. And I think health and safety issues around the buses is something that we will be really keen to explore more. One thing I've become aware of is that some of the bus companies have really good initiatives to reward drivers. So positive feedback, particularly if you can make a video, have a conversation with a driver, record that, send that in, even if you do it on your phone. I think these sorts of things are really invaluable. Some companies have reward programs where there are vouchers or Prezi cards given out once a year to the drivers who have secured perhaps an award, or they are top of the pops in terms of the number of people commenting about them positively. And I think that these initiatives are sort of all part of having a positive health and safety culture. So that's something that we want to help improve and contribute to in a positive way. I certainly will continue to do liaisoning with other people who are involved in transport consumer issues. And so we will have good advice and we will have good research around. But I need to have another host in that area. We used to have a specialist. We used to have Richard Barker, who was very keen on cycling and had a very good grasp of public transport as a whole and the concepts and the strategies needed to increase opportunities for people to walk and cycle and so on. Some people are concerned about the loss of car parks in various situations because as older people they're concerned about their own mobility and their frailness and their distances they need to move and travel through across the city. So I'm aware that those are issues as well, and probably we need to really have more dialogue about the ways in which people can help in the community with transport, the ways in which people can coordinate things better, because often buses are not going where we need to go. And that's one of the big issues. It's very easy if you can scooter all the way to pick up an express bus and you can be in the town in 40 minutes. And it might be a 35K journey. But done solely on public transport, we have to walk to the bus, catch a bus to a feeder bus to get to the express bus, and then walk to catch another bus to get to where you're going. That's a long journey. It's over 2.5 hours. So today, this is a conversation about what we're about in terms of our focus, what we're putting into the programs. We're hoping to also bring in a strong focus on adjusting to transitions. People's stories about the things that they have found, what they have learned. Because that's what positive aging's about. It's about being open to new learning and figuring out different ways of doing things. Fresh ways, new ways. Thinking about problem solving so you get a solution that works for you. And so in particular, looking at recreation, looking at exercise and getting out in nature and enjoying environments, there is an area where people sometimes have dreams and hopes that they would complete a particular bucket list of tasks, that they would go on a certain walk, or they, you know, some people want to do the Milford Track. Some people want to do the Tongariro Crossing. Some people want to fly to Spain and do the Camino. And depending on at what stage you're at, I mean, yes, you can contemplate in your 50s and 60s. Getting towards the end of your 60s, some people find that their friend or partner that was going to do it with them is no longer capable, or they find that they themselves have got a chronic health condition that limits them. And rather than give up on your dream, it's a really good idea to have a resource, sort of have opportunities to hear what how other people coped when the original dream had to be modified. What did they do? How did they restructure things? So I was interested to come across someone who had longed to do the Camino. I know you knew various others who'd celebrated their 70th birthday by doing the whole thing from France, and about 44 days of walking around about 20 to 30 k's a day. And so this person had a stroke, and they couldn't really contemplate that at all, they thought. But what they didn't know was that there are companies that will actually ferry your baggage for you along the way and deliver it to your accommodation. So if you're staying in hotels, there might be 3-star or 4-star. But if you are doing that type of solution, then these companies offer the accommodation booking service, they offer the transfer of the baggage, and they offer maps and guides, route guides, say, about distances, terrain, what sort of protection from the weather might be in these areas. So what sort of clothing you would actually need for the time of the year. And that can be very good, because it actually saves you bringing far too much gear that you don't need. It saves you the struggle of having to cart the gear, because that's one of the biggest hurdles for most people. I know some people in their 70s who've walked for 6 months before they left, carrying packs of different weights and sizes as they tried to get ready and tried to get the experience and the confidence, the muscles built, and so on. And that's really a big commitment. So, but of course, they didn't want to fail. They didn't want to be a burden on anybody, and they certainly didn't want to have to be taken out by a stretcher. So, I mean, it made sense to train. It made sense to prepare. And it made sense to overtrain, in a sense. But you don't have to do all that if there are other alternatives. So you don't even have to do 44 days. So some of these companies actually offer a 5 or 6 day, 100 kilometre journey that's towards the tail end of the Camino. So you actually have the benefit of A, going downhill, and B, coming into the final destination and having your passport stamped. I don't mean your passport, but the Camino passport stamped to say that you're an official pilgrim and you've completed that section. And yeah, to be part of the ceremony that takes place at midday, once you've been in the town hall and been through the certification and the passport stamping, a lot of people do go into the cathedral and actually participate in a service. So, yes, all of that's possible through that company that offers that solution. Some people take up the solution of bicycles, and it's possible to work with companies that hire the bikes, and so you might go from Porto in Portugal and go up the Atlantic coast by bike. I've heard that that's got some tricky aspects to it. Sometimes the route's not very clear. Sometimes it's difficult terrain. So it's not so good to rely on an electric bike because you might struggle to lift it. When you've got to actually push it uphill, it might be too heavy. And again, getting your baggage carted might be a really splendid idea. So all these things need to be thought out and researched, but there's a lot of information available on the internet. How about in New Zealand, though? What's available in New Zealand? I think that because we have such a large group of people in the population over 65 now, we have people who are more willing to offer options for people that would support walking. I know there were people back 25 years ago who paid to have their packs flown in by helicopter and dropped off when they went walking, so it was less arduous, but that's not what most people would be able to afford, I think. So the options here are getting better, and also we have more tracks that you can do by cycling, and we've got some wonderful cycle trails that can be done in 1 and 2 days, and so you can go and do short term things. And yeah, that it won't be quite the same exhilaration as saying I did 44 days on the Camino, but you can do several of those in a year, and you can add to your fitness wellness program. You can build up strength between each activity, and you can still build up the camaraderie and the sense of achievement with your friends. And that's what produces the honeyed moments, the things that then you can look back on and reflect on. If you have a terminal condition, or you have a chronic condition where it's a slow downhill process and it can't be halted particularly, it might be slowed down, but that's the kind of inevitable downside of some ageing issues. If you're in that situation, then creating honeyed moments, creating positive things that you can do, that then you can look back on, I think that's a really positive way to go. I think it's a way to really lift your sights instead of kind of sitting and thinking, I might have 3 or 5 years left and I don't know where to start, and I don't think I can actually do any of it. Like, it's really about mindfulness and about choosing goals that are doable and allowing yourself that spontaneity and that joy, that sense of, oh, I really, really, really love to do something. I know I can't do the Camino. I know I can't do the Tongariro crossing, 17 Ks in one day. That's too much for me, and there's no other way of doing it. Unless someone did helicopter you into the Emerald Lakes and you walked from there and did half. But there aren't too many solutions with that. But maybe you could, in good weather, with good equipment and good support group, you could go around the mountain and walk 15Ks between huts, and over 4 or 5 days you can do the whole circuit around the central North Island from the around the three main peaks. Or you might go around Mount Taranaki. But a gentler walk would be around Lake Waikaremoana. And that's actually really something that a lot of people don't even realise they can do, that it is actually there. What's really great is that some of the places have quite good quality huts these days that you can pay for the bunks in advance. You can reserve bunks, particularly in the private huts. And there are many, many more options than there used to be. So sometimes it's a matter of hanging on to the dream and then actually sort of refining it and then thinking, well, what would make a difference to me? What, you know, how would it change things for me? And it's not until you get going, until you actually set that goal and start researching and collecting what you need and so on, that you kind of realise how liberating it can be. What a fantastic opportunity to trust yourself, believe in yourself. It's a gift you can give yourself. No one else can actually give it to you. Unfortunately, there are some people who have the mission to try and stop older people doing things, and I'm aware that some people who've done various walks, and even a person I know who did the Camino at 75, her family was dead against her doing it. They actually tried every way possible to dissuade her and prevent her from going, which seems quite extraordinary, really, when you think about it. But their concept was that, you know, was far beyond her and was something she shouldn't be attempting at her age. And they had made a decision that, you know, when you're a certain age, you should give up all sorts of things, and you should play safe, and you shouldn't actually create worry for anyone else by tackling anything. And it's a sort of attitude that's part of ageism. It's alive and well. And that's one of the reasons why we have this program, because it's just a constant need to bring up images of people who are living life with joy and enjoyment and fulfilling dreams and getting on with it and are not being blocked or inhibited by ageism, and just determined to get on with it and make the best of their opportunities and create opportunities. After all, if something's not there and you can't find it, let's make it. That kind of approach is empowering, and we want to really celebrate that. We want to celebrate people who do things like that, and we want to give opportunities to inspire others to follow suit. Somebody who I wanted to mention on the program today, who died last year, Rod Oram, was such a person, because he was always out extending himself, out biking, doing various trips, various expeditions. He biked overseas a lot, in a lot of different countries, and he will be sadly missed. And as a memorial to him, there has been a contest, a competition set up for youth to write a paper and on the topic of climate change. And I just thought, look, if I think it's going to close soon. I'm sorry I don't have the details right in front of me, but we will mention it again on the program. But we really want to encourage any people listening who've got grandchildren who might want to participate. This is for, like, secondary age students, and this is really to get them to encourage them to think about the values and the structural changes in society that could really benefit future planning to improve things that otherwise could become very difficult with the sort of climate change issues that are in front of us. So that's an opportunity I want to flag. And it gives an example of how intergenerational things can happen of value. We're older people, where we want to treasure somebody as in a memory of somebody, we can do it in a way that benefits society, and that's a really great example. Whatever you think about bucket lists, and whatever you think about people who take on such challenges, it's better to have something to dream about. It's better to have something you like to do, and don't let it be small. But by actually actively exploring, what is it that you would really like to do, really like to work towards in the next year, 2 years, 3 years, and actually start to let that project evolve? You can always change it. You can always shift the project. I know some people who started out planning to go on a particular trip, and they ended up doing something quite different because they stumbled across something on the internet that really caught their eye. There are lots of ways that you can enjoy travel and extending yourself, and don't have to do it through walking. So you can do it by train travel, and there are some fabulous train trips that can be done in different countries. So I'll leave you with that thought, and maybe you'll research some of those options for yourself. Thanks for listening, and we'll be together next Sunday.
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.
On air, online, on demand, in your language. Planet FM on planetaudio.org.nz.
Senior Focus returns next Sunday at the same time of 5:25 p.m. Call Planet FM 104.6 tēnei, Te Reo Hapori o Tamaki Makaurau, Auckland's community access radio station. On the fourth Sunday of each month at 6 p.m, you can tune in to the Wise Women of IQ Talanoa with their monthly program. Tonight, though, we have a selection of local music, old and new, to take you through till 7:10, when Albert joins us for Vinyl Revival.